Lord, would you anoint us to be able to hear what you're saying tonight? And Lord, that you would release that healing anointing right now in our midst through her in Jesus' name. Lord, baptize her with fire tonight in Jesus' name. And I declare healing and strength in her physical body in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just release her to be able to minister in power tonight. Jesus' name, amen and amen.
I am just messed up. good evening. Anybody hot this week? This one? Yeah, you know, I grew up in Arizona. I was 7 when my folks moved there. I'm from Napanee, and my folks moved when I was 7, and I loved the heat. And so we love it. We're not minding at all, but I feel bad for you all. Even though we've been back here for many, many years, I still love the heat. It's just awesome. I love it. I don't like the cold, so we're kind of enjoying it. And my grandson's down there. He gets hot at the word hot. So, but Crystal and I and Chris really, really love the heat. I wanted to talk to you tonight about Jehovah Rapha. And God is an amazing, amazing God. And Dave might have to preach this. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. We have to set aside what we think is truth. And get a kingdom mindset and start thinking like the Lord, like the Father. His heart for you is different than what most of us perceive. He's intense. His love is intense. It's complete. It's profound. It's perfect. We tend to lean on our own understanding, and it's time we let go of that. It's time we embrace the understanding of God, his understanding. We need to know him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. All of your ways, not just some of them, all of them. And he will make your paths straight. He will. That's a promise. Every time it says that he will do something, that's like I take that as a promise. The Bible doesn't lie. And if it tells me God will do something, he will do it. And we need to take that promise. How you see your identity, number A there, is in direct relation to how you view yourself positionally with God. The way that which you think about yourself will affect how you relate to the Lord on a personal level. If you think you're all that, and you got it all together, and you're very self-sufficient and know how to do everything, and you're very confident. There's nothing wrong with confidence, but when you think that you don't need God, there's a problem. If you think that you're like my woundedness would tell me that I'm unworthy, I'm un-everything, nothing good about me, and that the Lord didn't love me, that kind of thing. If you think that, that's the way you're going to relate to him. You're going to, in your quiet time with him, you're going to think that he's thinking about you the way you think about you, and you're not going to come before him in a place of confident understanding of the way he sees you, and the profound love and value that he places on your heart, on your life. In Proverbs 3, 7, and 8 then, it says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones." The fear of the Lord is something I've talked about before. It's the reverential trust. It's reverential trust. It's hating what God hates and obedient, and it demands obedience. And so that fear of the Lord is something that we need to grab a hold of. When we get that, we won't be wise in our own eyes. When we get that, we're going to be having a more right perspective before the Lord, because we're going to start, our perspective is going to change, and we're going to see things the way he sees things. We're going to start looking at us differently. We're going to start seeing value on our life, value to the kingdom and to others. You're going to look at evil differently. Sometimes we have trouble. We recognize evil in our life, but it doesn't feel so bad. And so we have, you know, trouble with that, and thinking and realizing that evil is evil, and we need to get it out. We need to have no part of it. So the Lord's not condemning, but he'll convict if you allow him, if you let him. I invite the Lord. I invite him, convict me, because I don't want any hidden sin. I want to hate what you hate, and so I want you to convict me. I want to feel like that needs to go. And he's so good when he does that. He'll bring it up. Trusting and not relying on yourself to keep us safe. Trusting and not relying on self to keep us safe sets off all kinds of reaction alarms in us. We fight to stay in control, and the need to feel safe and comforted is the root of fear that rises up in us. Often that need to, we'll go to great lengths to feel comfort and to feel safe. Those two things are huge in us. We don't like being uncomfortable, and we don't like not feeling safe. Our bodies often react in a negative way to all the emotional turmoil that rises up in us from woundedness. Mine certainly, I am as you know, most of you know, I'm a walking testimony to stress, emotional stresses that can go on in your emotions, how it affects the body. And I've gone through a lot of emotional healing and continue to do that. And as I do that, my body gradually just gets stronger and stronger. It just strengthens. And even Sunday, I'll just have to share this with you. I was I got a bump on the head last week, and I have X-rays that show that my neck has, my whole spine has a degenerative disease, bone disease. Arthritis, osteoarthritis, and so I can't hold an adjustment very well in my neck. If it goes out, in my past history, I would get a migraine within two days, serious migraine, and they would not stop until my neck would be put back in place. Well, 4 years ago, the Lord told me to quit going to the chiropractor and to put my trust in him in that area to keep my neck in, and he has been faithful. I have not had a migraine. I have not. My neck will pull when I have emotion, but it always goes back right back in as soon as I get that emotion. Well, so I got a bad bump on my head, and my neck went out. I felt it, and it didn't go back in right away. And I just kept pressing in. Okay, God, I just trust you for this. I trust you. You're my chiropractor. You said you're faithful. You're trustworthy. I kept claiming that, and I believe it. I do. I believe it. It's not words that come like I have to repeat them over and over so that I'll believe them. I believe it. He's convinced me. And so, but still on Sunday mornings, I'm teaching a turn class right now. And I got up there and I was teaching that class, and I was talking about what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, of God being a just God. And having to stand up there and being in pain, my head's all foggy. I don't have a migraine, but my head's foggy. I'm feeling really yucky. Just the strength has gone out of me, and my neck hurts. And by the end I got of that class, I was out of pain. It's like, is when the more I declare who he is, the more I speak of his truth, the more I stand in faith for what I believe, the more he convinces me, and the more my body responds to his touch. So that's what this verse is talking about. When you're not wise, you fear the Lord, you turn away from your own ways, it brings healing to your bones. It's a natural, it has to. The more light that comes into you, it chases out the darkness, and it has to. It's just part of the nature of God. The more you're filled with him, the more your body gets strengthened. Now, I'm not talking about instant healing here. This is process. My body's going through process. We all want that instant, and I do too, but I'll take the process. In Deuteronomy 3:32-4, says the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. The faithfulness of God is something that we have great difficulty trusting in without doubting. Boy, if I could invent a little pill that would take away doubts in all of us, I would so go for that. That's the one thing, you know, that keeps us from standing in absolute faith and trust in God is doubts. Our history wants to tell us that that's not right, that my history, and I've seen the x-rays, try to tell me that it's impossible for my neck to stay in place. There's some genetic issues even with my bones that cause it to not want to stay in place. So my history tells me that's impossible. And then I get the physical symptoms, and I know it's out. But I know the faithfulness of God in that area, and I trust him completely to keep me, my neck, in perfect peace. And so I want that in every area of my life, every area where I have no doubt. Because he has no sin. He cannot fail me. And he is just. And he is faithful. God's justice looks different than what we think it should look like. We think that it should look like punishment. Like if somebody does a wrong to us, especially the innocent, especially little children, you know, or women that are seriously abused, but children especially. And the smaller they are, the harder we hurt for them. And we think that that perpetrator or the one harming them should be immediately punished. And when that doesn't happen, it's like so we suffer with so much injustice, especially the person that's gotten hurt. And the Lord, you know, on the cross, Jesus suffered the greatest injustice of all. You know, he took our sin, and he was without. And what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. God will bring judgment to the one who has sinned. But he's after that heart. That heart, even he loves the worst sinner. It doesn't matter what they've done. If they've killed a million people, he loves them and he wants their heart. And he will go to great lengths to get that heart, to keep it from going to hell, because he knows what hell's going to be like. And he doesn't want that. And so it's heart first with God. If that doesn't happen, judgment comes. But for the one that's been wounded, he restores, he heals, and he weeps when they're getting hurt. He suffers when you suffer. He is in agony when you go through injustice. He feels what you feel because he identified with you on the cross. And he hasn't forgotten. But he also loves that sinner that was hanging next to him. That one that deserved the cross. He said, I'll see you in heaven with me. I'll see you in paradise. He wanted the other one too. But that one didn't go there. The Lord wants that heart above everything else. It's not that he doesn't care for the one that's been hurt, because he so does. I've felt his agony when somebody's hurting. And I felt Father's agony when Jesus was on the cross. It's profound. We need to know it. But his love is profound too. And so he wants that heart. So he's just, that looks different than what we think it should look like. We think they should get immediate punishment and be made to, suffer because we suffered. But what does Jesus say? I'm going to deviate a little bit here from the paper. In Matthew 5, it says, in verse 39, 38, it says, have you not heard that what it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? But I say to you, do not resist the evil person. But whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That is justice. It's redemptive for the one who is sinning. Jesus paid for his sin, no matter how bad it is, for their sin. It's not just men. Jesus paid for their sin, no matter how bad it is. And we need that heart. That's the heart that we need to have, so that when we feel an injustice, we can forgive and love and have that heart that Jesus had on the cross. Because when we do this here in Matthew, we're looking just like Jesus. We're looking just like him. That's awesome. That's what we're supposed to be. We're being transformed into his likeness, just as he was the very likeness of Father. Now we're being transformed into his likeness. So he gets excited when we look like him. I think I stopped in the middle of C there. I'm just going to start reading that all over again. The faithfulness of God is something that we have great difficulty in trusting in without doubting. We understand that he is faithful, but when we look at our lives, the present and the future, our past experiences want to tell us that we cannot fully trust in God to come through for us. When we feel we've been wrong, we struggle to see justice being executed to our satisfaction. Every person needs a revelation of God's justice for us individually, what that looks like for us. And number D, it says there are many amazing and wonderful aspects. You could put up that first chart there, Rebecca. There are many, many wonderful and amazing aspects to all that makes up God's nature. There is often a temptation to accept one part that we can understand or have some kind of proof that this part is true. When it comes to other parts of his nature, that have somehow eluded us, we tend to push down or ignore that part or have little, if any, faith and trust in it. Right here, this is not a complete chart. This is partial. There are many natures of God. There are more Jehovah names. There are El Shaddai names. There's many. John Paul Jackson has a book out, the 365 Names of God. So there's many. He's multi-complicated. He's deep, and we're not ever going to be able to tap into his depths. But I get excited about that, because in all eternity, I'm always going to be wanting more, wanting to know more about him, and I'll never get that satisfied. I'll never get bored. Jehovah Yahweh, that's his as being Savior. That he's Savior. Jehovah Rohi, that's the Lord, my Shepherd. Jehovah Shama, the Lord who is present. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. And Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. God, you know, we have to take all those parts of God. It's just like us. We're complicated too, and there's many parts of us. We have a soft nature, and some of us have can have soft, but you can also be tough at times. You can be happy or sad, you know, all those things. And you're if you're like take a female for instance, you're a mom. If you're a mom, and you work, and you're a wife, and you are a soccer coach, and all these things, you know, you have many hats that you wear. The same is true with God, and these are just a few. So when you look at him, his nature, we have to look at him in a whole, as a whole. In Colossians 1:15, it says, it's talking about Jesus here. Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. He is the firstborn of all creation. It just occurred to me that Jesus is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. That's faith. Faith is believing for that which we do not see. Jesus was faith manifested. He was faith manifested. He gave us a visual on an invisible God to believe for that which we do not see. I like that. Number E, we know that Jesus has the exact same heart for us as his Father. So all the nature of God, the Father, is in the Son, is in God the Son. In everything that Jesus said and did, in every attitude and way of being, he was showing us who Papa is. He didn't leave anything out. He showed us God's nature, God's heart for us, and he walked it out, even to the cross. God himself hung on that cross. God the Father was in agony over it, even though it pleased him to bruise him, but it hurt. And but that's his heart. His heart is complete in every one of those areas. His heart for that manifestation, that part of him, is complete. It lacks that lacks nothing. And so when he's Jehovah provider, you know, when he's our provider, that one is full, is complete. We should feel like we lack nothing, because he provides everything that we need. But our what we see in the natural tends to cause us to doubt that. And you can look at each one of these. The Lord is our Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is our peace. How many of you feel peace 100% of the time? 100%. No, so we can look at that and say, God, really? You're my peace. I know that I belong to you. I know that you're in me. I know the Holy Spirit's in me, but I don't feel your peace all the time, even sometimes when I'm crying out for it. But as we are transformed, because we are process, the more light that we take in, the more healing we get, the more that peace resides in you. And I can testify to you that peace is with me almost all the time. Not all the time, but a lot. And it's possible, and I aim to get to that 100%. Jesus did it, so I can do it. Because he said I can. So he empowers us to do that. In Matthew 8:16, you can put up, Rebecca, that last chart. 8:16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were ill. Sometimes we struggle to have faith for healing, whether it's emotional, physical, or spiritual. But in truth, the Bible records that Jesus healed everyone who reached out to him. There is no room for us to take Jehovah Rapha out of the equation. It is who he is. Michael, you can come up now, and I know he's going to sneak in from the back. Tries to scare me. But we cannot take Jehovah Rapha out. God is our healer. You know, even me, I stand up here and I feel pain in my body and other things and are going on, and it's like I cannot take Jehovah Rapha out of who he is. And until the day I die, I will preach Jehovah Rapha because I believe it. It's part of who he is. And if I take that out, then I'm picking and choosing what I'm going to believe about God. And you can't afford to do that. We can't. Because when you start doing that, you might as well create your own religion, you know? And there's plenty out there that do that. And that's kind of scary. You can't pick and choose what you're going to believe. I sat down with the Lord several years ago, and I made a determination if I was going to walk in the healing ministry. And my body was much, much worse then, much worse. And if I was going to walk in the healing ministry, I had to make a choice. And so I sat down with the Lord, and I had a long session with him. And God, am I going to believe your word? Am I going to take it as absolute truth? And what it says about you, am I going to believe that? Am I going to embrace that for me, and am I going to walk in it? How far can I go? And it was a challenge to me. And I made a conscious choice. You know, I talked about that last time. The power of choice that we've been given is powerful. And we choose life or death. And we need to be careful what we're choosing. I chose life that day because I chose to embrace the word as absolute truth of who God says he is and what he says he's going to do for me. And he says he's my Jehovah Rapha. He's my healer. So, I just want to invite you to come, and again, I don't care if you've been prayed for a zillion times, to come up here again with expectation in your heart that Jehovah Rapha loves you and he's going to heal you. I just have that expectation because the doubts have to go. We can't afford them. You know, it's not mind over matter. It's choosing what is true. God is true. He doesn't lie. So we're choosing truth here, and we're going to stand on it, and we're going to walk it out just like Jesus did. And we're going to pray for you because faith is believing for that which you do not see. And it's reaching into the kingdom which we're all a part of. You have the kingdom in you and around you. And so we're going to reach into the kingdom and pull down that which we do not see, which is healing. And you're going to be blessed. So I invite you to stand. And Father, I bless this time with your presence, God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are Jehovah Rapha and that you love to heal. Jesus, you healed every single person that came to you that asked for healing. You didn't say no, ever. Only when there was doubt were you hindered at all. So I just take authority over a spirit of doubt and I break that off right now, off of every person in here. And I just release that in Jesus' name. And I just, God, I ask for faith. I ask you raise our level of faith right now, that you just cause it to bubble up within us, that we can stand and know that your words are true, that they are blessed, they are holy, they are anointed. The Bible's anointed with the truth of who God is. It's a witness to who he is. Let it minister to you. I invite you to start coming forward. If you have healing, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical, I invite you to come forward. I invite the healing team to come up. They're going to pray for you. God has something for you tonight. Don't miss out on a blessing because he's handing out blessing tonight. This is a night of blessing. The Lord has, I just feel like there's some of you that have been down in heart, like need encouragement. The Lord wants to encourage you. I just feel like encouragement tonight that he wants to pour out. I also feel like there's some of you have felt little tenderness, not in your own heart, but from others. Like there's been a lot of harsh words around you and that kind of thing. I feel like the Lord wants you to feel his tender heart for you tonight. I also feel like somebody's got something wrong with their ear. I feel like the Lord wants to touch that tonight. If you have an ear problem, the Lord wants to touch that. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Lord, we stand in your presence and say thank you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight, God, because you are amazing. And you have victory. Somebody here needs victory over something. The Lord has victory for you tonight. Go ahead, team, and start praying for people. The Lord has victory for you tonight. I don't know. There's something you're battling. It's a spiritual battle. And I feel like the Lord has victory for you. So, God, I just thank you for that victory that's coming. I feel like there's some of you that are asking for more, like you want more intimacy with the Lord, more relationship with him, and you're not quite sure how to do that, how to break through to that. The Lord has that for you. He wants that for you. He wants that. So wants that. Thank you, Jesus.
Want you to know while we're ministering in here right now, it's raining like crazy outside. So let's just receive the rain of the Spirit right now. I know the Lord is here right now. He's right here. Just keep focusing on him. Be patient with the team as they come around. I also felt tonight also that the Lord wants to set people free from a people-pleasing kind of fear in your life, just the fear of men. The Bible speaks to that, but just a release from that. So we're just going to let the worship team go for it for a little while here, and we're just going to minister. Be blessed. If you do have to leave, feel free to leave if you need to. But we're just going to turn this into an atmosphere of worship and prayer and just release the anointing.
I love.